Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Welcome to Wizard Team, a Harry Potter cast for true Potterheads. Each week we discuss a chapter from the series with all of our knowledge of the world of Harry Potter. Be warned, this is a spoiler-heavy podcast. I'm Bayana.
And I'm Robin. We're really excited to go through these chapters and discuss all of our thoughts and feelings about the book. Today we are discussing Chapter 9 of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, The Writing on the Wall.
First, we have some announcements and reminders. We want this podcast to be interactive and want to know your thoughts, so please feel free to tweet along with us. You can use the hashtag WizardTeam on Twitter to follow along. Also, if you just find, like, Harry Potter things, you can use the hashtag WizardTeam or tag us. It doesn't matter.
Keep the conversation going, man. It's not just a Wednesday convo. It's a lifetime combo.
All Harry Potter all the time.
Truth.
Essentially.
Have you ever wondered what it would be like to be black at Hogwarts? Do you want to write about it? I know you want to write about it. We are working on a project called Hogwarts BSU, a collection of stories, fan art, and whatever your creative minds can think of, illustrating what it would be like to be a black Hogwarts student. If you would like to submit, check out the website for the guidelines. You can also check out the website for some of the more recent submissions that we have published.
Yeah, so if you like are kind of confused on like what we're looking for, we have two posts up now if you want to like look at they're very different too, so just see kind of like what we're talking about. You love our blog, love Wizard Team, have a few extra galleons lying around. We are now on Patreon, so you can go to www.patreon.com/blackgirlsnerdout and help us out a little bit. I checked it recently and I think we have some more patrons, which is awesome.
We do. Ooh,
I think we have
that.
At least one more. That's on you though, because I don't have like the account information. Anyway, thank you to everyone who has who has like donated and like this and what I don't even know.
And
the
is
words.
Supporting us.
Yeah,
and
support.
I will get on our part of the bargain, which is there are different levels that you can support, and you can choose any factor. So it's, you know, one plus. If you want to do $2 a month, you can do that. If you want to do $1 a month, you can do that. If you want to do $5 or if you want to do $8 a month or whatever you can afford and you choose to do, we're appreciative of. And with those levels come gifts and or tokens of our appreciation. And since we have had people appreciate us, it is my job now to appreciate them back by doing what I promised. So,
but we also appreciate you in like the general sense of the term,
yes,
as well. But concrete things will also be like
happening.
Yeah, happening.
Yeah, definitely. So subscribe to our newsletter. Every week we share nerd news and links to what's been going on across the nerd world, not just Harry Potter related, but everything in between. If you want to be in the know, be sure to subscribe. You can go to blackgirlsnerdout.com and subscribe there. You can also go to tinyletter.com/BGNO.
Also, follow us on Twitter at @WeBlackAndNerds. Like us on Facebook at Black Girls Nerd Out. Like us on Instagram at Black Girls Nerd Out. And Tumblr is also Black Girls Nerd Out, yeah?
Yeah.
Awesome. I got it this time. We don't have any news.
We do have some news.
Oh, we do? Oh, okay, cool.
The full cast was released for Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. So you can go to Pottermore and see the full cast. It's a large cast, too.
I'm
kind of excited to see how many of these characters have speaking roles or just how it's going to play out. And,
yeah,
of course, it's going to be two parts. So maybe some characters show up in the first part, don't show up in the second. That might... We have no idea. We're just excited to see what they have shown us. So
yeah,
that is what's happening in the Potter fandom right now. People are buzzing about the full cast. Now, let's dive into Chapter 9, The Writing on the Wall.
All right, so because we don't have a soundboard yet, previously on Wizard Team. So the Chamber of Secrets has been opened.
Draco
Mrs. Norris is petrified, and Draco has lost all chill.
All of it.
Enemies of the air, beware, you'll be next, mudbloods. So
was that necessary?
Apparently not. Or it really wasn't, but apparently to him it was. So, what's going on here? What's going on? Attracted, no doubt, by Malfoy's shout, Argus Filch came shouldering his way through the crowd. Then he saw Mrs. Norris and fell back, clutching his face in horror. My cat, what's happened to Mrs. Norris? He shrieked. And his popping eyes fell on Harry. You, he screeched. You, you've murdered my cat. You've killed her. I'll kill you. Like, woo.
And
intense.
Like, and then Dumbledore arrives at the scene, yeah. Argus, to shut him down.
Yeah.
Thoughts. How are you allowed to be in this school? Okay, so we are going to find out in, like, literally a page. Filch thinks that Harry has targeted him because he found out that he's a squib.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that Filch is a squib, and Dumbledore, I don't know how we find this out, but Dumbledore, he goes to Hogwarts, he goes to Dumbledore because he just wants to be a part of the world somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Dumbledore, he could have been, like, your personal assistant. He could have worked at Hogsmeade. You have pull there. Like, he could have worked with Madame Rose Myrta, or he could have worked at Diagon Alley in a shop as a keeper or a caretaker or whatever. There are plenty of other places that he could have been a part of the world and not given up his rights there. But does he need to be around kids when his first reaction is, you've killed my cat, I'll kill you.
Well, I think that, like, part of that, yes, I agree. And I think that a part of it is, like, Mrs. Norris is the only friend that he has. And, like, the only, and I'll say person just because of, like, it's easier. Yeah. But, like, the only person who he feels, like, close to and has, like, some kind of connection with. And I think that he's been isolated for a long time. I mean, I don't mess with Filch. I hate him. Some for, like, super, like, not reasonable reasons. He killed Catelyn and Robb Stark.
He really didn't.
Anyway,
he's
responsible for the Red Wedding. And
he
I
really
hate him.
Isn't.
I hate him. Anyway, I still feel like he's in a position, like, I don't think he should be around kids. It's very clear from the top, and, like, it's clear as the series goes on that he absolutely should not be around kids. But I do think that in this moment, it's an extreme reaction, but at the same time, like, he's distraught. Like,
I am not questioning his level of anguish or, like, this is also going to sound cruel. I love animals. I really do. But you, and yes, he's just finding out. He has walked onto a scene and he looks and he thinks that his only friend has died and that has been killed,
right.
Which is a different thing than, yeah. You know, died of natural causes or whatever. However, why do you have that on your wall? That is so mean.
What is that?
Chai?
It's my vision board.
Chai? Like, you're going to Chicago?
It's my vision board.
Your vision board sucks.
Why are you in my life?
Because I was in my feelings.
Why don't you talk about the book, Robin?
I'm trying.
Why don't you do that?
Trying.
Yep. I'm not.
And anyway, so.
It's been there for like 2 months now.
I haven't been up here.
I know. That's not my fault.
So. I don't want to discount his feelings in the moment and I don't want to hold him to an emotional outburst because you say things that you regret or whatever. But he has still, it's like he has the capacity.
I mean, it's really close. It's like when white people say the N-word really quickly.
Yes.
And you're like, well, you were close. You were real.
That was real close to the tongue.
Yeah.
It was.
That was comfortable.
It was just right behind your teeth, just ready to be
yeah,
released.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think Harry is a child, and a human child, just more deserving of, like, care and comfort than, he's not deserving of retribution, and we'll see again someone else later in the book trying to kill him over a creature,
right.
Even though that creature has more self-determination and intelligence and is more of a person or...
What confused were you talking about?
Lucius, after he loses
Dobby. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And okay, he comes okay. real quick with the killing yeah, curse, too.
He does do that.
So I'm not trying to at all discount Filch's emotions, but I am trying to say that, like you said, it's so, it comes so fast that it is like, not I'll beat you or I'll make sure that this is the last time you see, I'll make sure you're expelled this time, not you will pay for this, mm-hmm. you will be in trouble, you've gotten away with a lot of things, but this you cannot get away with. I'll kill you.
Right.
And another flip side of that is Filch is brought up on his isolation himself, because at least Dumbledore was giving enough to let him into the magical world in some capacity, right? You can't do magic. That's not anyone's fault.
But I think that there's still some prejudice around being a squib.
Oh, there's like definitely the prejudice, right? But, which, I mean...
So I feel like he's, like... He's... I don't know. Snape. Filch is a... He's struggling.
He's a stunted adolescent.
And obviously there he can go about his life in different ways. And his reactions to certain things aren't necessarily ideal or like make sense. But I think that sometimes they make sense within his own context and not within like it's not like common sense. It's not
yeah.
the context of like the larger world, but within his own specific context, I think that it makes sense that he would act this way, whether it's like a good thing or not. Like,
it's obviously, yeah, he obviously shouldn't. It's not reasonable, but it does. I'm not saying that his actions don't make sense. What I'm saying is yes, he is subject to a lot of prejudice and looking down to and abuse and separation from the wizarding world. Two things. One, you chose to insert yourself into this world, or you couldn't, you took on that risk when mm-hmm. you decided to live here. So being a part of the world was more important to you than being ostracized by the people that you want to be close to. Secondly, there are Muggleborns who also deal with that, right? And they deal with it like you just need to be able to deal with it in a better manner. I'm not mm-hmm. saying that it's right and you shouldn't be subjected to that kind of like prejudice or whatever, but you are. It's the way the world is, and you can't go around threatening children because you're angry about the lot that you've been given in life.
Right.
Does that make sense? Like, you yeah, can't take that sense. Out on other people. But beyond all of this, which is to say, like, you understand his worldview and his motivations, and they don't, you're not excusing them, but you they're understandable
yeah.
from his point of view. What's not understandable is a headmaster allowing this to continue.
I mean, Dumbledore, man, Filch is like
does
the
whatever
least,
he wants.
I was like, Filch is the least of his like infractions.
Yes, and we will get there.
Get in like literally 2 seconds.
Yes. So Dumbledore arrives on the scene, followed by a number of other teachers, and he has swept past Harry, Ron, and Hermione, and detached Miss Norris from the torch bracket, which is like also. She's just been hanging there.
Yeah.
Come with me, Argus, he said to Filch. You too, Mr. Potter, Mr. Weasley, and Miss Granger.
So I'm like, that's good. He separates them from the students. It's not a whole, like, thing.
Yeah. And it doesn't play out in public.
Right.
Lockhart stepped forward eagerly.
Go away.
My office is near, headmaster. Just upstairs. Please feel free. Thank you, Gilderoy.
Okay, can I just pause and say, Gilderoy is actually, like, a interesting name and, like, a dope-ass name. But I can, if I meet anyone named Gilderoy, I hate you automatically off top.
This is like blaming someone in a different world, in a different universe, for deaths that did not happen in their world.
He killed Robin Catelyn Stark,
but
man!
He did! But he literally couldn't have.
That blood is on his hands.
We're in that headspace. The best thing to do now is to move on. Good lord. The silent crowd parted to let them pass. Lockhart looked looking excited and important, hurried after Dumbledore, and so did Professors McGonagall and Snape.
Why are
One
you
thing,
there, Snape?
Snape? Why?
Why?
You're
For
not
what
needed.
Reason? How? When?
Even
where,
Gilderoy kind of makes sense because they're going to his office, even though he's still not needed. All three of them are in Gryffindor.
All they need is McGonagall and Dumbledore. That's it.
You're not.
Why are you there, Snape?
You're not welcome here.
Why are you being nosy?
As they entered Lockhart's darkened office, there was a flurry of movement across the walls. Harry saw several of the Lockharts in the pictures dodging out of sight, their hair in rollers. And this is like...
How are your pictures also vain?
Because they are a part of you. I know. You know, they're Lockhart. So.
Where do they get the rollers from, though?
But I don't know how magic works, dude. Where did the ghosts get paper?
That's true. Questions that need answers.
Right? We're going to be here for a long time.
Pottermore, can we have these answers?
We already in for a long haul, and you want to just pile on with some questions that we don't have answers
to. Just things
to.
We need to know, Joe, in case you're listening. How do ghosts have paper, and how do pictures, like, have rollers for their hair? Like, how do they
and get... And how do half giants
new,
get made?
Yeah.
I mean, there
and
are
how
all
do half giants get made? That's actually the top of the list.
And how... house elves, are they born in the wild? There's right. a lot of questions that we don't have answers to, and we don't have the time to.
But I think the half
them.
Giants one is the one that's the most important.
To me, it's the elves.
Because, I mean, like, obviously, like, in real life, the elves are, but technically, and in, like, real, just like,
it's
how?
It's because it's a quick answer, you think? I don't think so.
I don't think it is, but I feel like it needs. We need to know. Maybe we don't need to know.
I just feel like we're taping this during the Oscars, and I feel like it's kind of like the Revenant situation. Oh God, never mind.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, but I want to also point this out is that as the crowd parted, Lockhart looked excited and important, and then his pictures dodge out of sight, their hair in rollers. It's like you're at a school. I mean, you're at a famous school or whatever, but it's still day to day, like. The Daily Prophet is not here. Why are you feeling excited and important about in front of children?
Yeah.
What?
Other things like why do the pictures' hair even need rollers? Their hair becomes deflated, like their hair gets all flat and
these are questions we don't have answers to.
It makes no sense. Okay. So
Dumbledore laid Miss Norris on the polished surface and began to examine her. Harry, Ron, and Hermione exchanged tense looks and sank into chairs outside the pool of candlelight watching. The tip of Dumbledore's long, crooked nose is barely an inch from Miss Norris's fur. He was looking at her closely through his half-moon spectacles, his long fingers gently prodding and poking. Professor McGonagall was bent almost as close, her eyes narrowed. Snape loomed behind them, half in shadow, wearing a most peculiar expression. It was as though he was trying hard not to smile. Why?
And Lockhart was hovering all around all of them, making suggestions. So I have a question, and it's a very serious one. How do I know who to bench?
Sometimes you just have to...
Like, I literally wrote in all caps, how can I know who to bench now? This is really difficult, and it's making me upset.
Sometimes you just have to stand in your
okay,
truth.
We are no longer doing this. It was definitely a curse that killed her. Probably the Transmogrifian torture. I've seen it used many times. So unlucky I wasn't there. I know the very counter curse that would have saved her. That's so convenient. He's like trying to seem powerful without having to show it. So it's just like, that's real convenient that you weren't there so that you couldn't do whatever it was that you may or may not know how to do. But of course, you know how to do it. But it's like, oh man, I know how to do this, but too bad I wasn't there. That really sucks.
You need to work on your divination then so you can be where you need to be.
Idiot.
Lockhart's comments were punctuated by Filch's dry, racking sobs. Like, that is actually the worst part, is you're sitting here in front of a man who is...
just distraught.
Distraught.
That's the thing.
Talking about how you could have saved
right.
the person. It does no one any good. You didn't save her.
No, not at all.
Shut up.
Much as he detested Filch, Harry couldn't help feeling a bit sorry for him. Though not nearly as sorry as he felt for himself. Which I feel like...
But...
I get it, but also, like, the cat got... Like, for all we know at this moment, before Dumbledore, like, says anything, the cat's dead. Like, and you're feeling bad for yourself more than you... And I kind of get it, because Phil's just horrible, and he did just threaten him, so maybe that's what it is.
Everyone
and then
too,
he's like, am I going to get an attention, because even though I didn't do anything? So I kind of get it, but it's like... It's, I don't know. It's interesting.
So, one thing that we alluded to before. I remember something very similar happening in Ouagadougou, said Lockhart. Is Ouagadougou kind of like Hogsmeade's Hogwarts because we noticed that?
Right. So, we were talking, because I don't think we actually tweeted about it. So, a couple weeks ago.
No, we didn't. Last week, I was.
Well, from here, it will be 2 weeks ago, right?
No.
From when this goes out?
No. We talked about it last week when I was on the... I tweeted it.
Okay. Anyway, whatever. It happened. and so we were talking about the Ouagadougou that Lockhart mentions, and at first we thought it was Ouagadougou, which is the,
wizarding school.
Yeah, I'll say African for lack of a better, Ugandan wizarding school. And so initially it looks like it is, but it's not, like, it's not.
So.
It's not spelled the same.
Ouagadougou is spelled Ouagadougou.
That's, yeah,
Ouagadougou. Sorry.
And then Ouagadougou is literally, it's the same thing. It's just a little bit
shorter.
Short. It's just like
Ouagadougou.
Yeah. So it's really like, so my initial like thought was either that this is a first draft type of thing, because later Lockhart says, so he had a similar thing happening, a series of attacks, the full story is in my autobiography, like, shut up. I was able to provide the townsfolk with various amulets, so not, like, students,
mm-hmm.
It's townsfolk. So that's why we were thinking it's either, like, a Hogsmeade version, or it could just be a rough draft that, like, yeah. That was what she was thinking initially, and then she decided, like, oh,
to shorten it.
Yeah, or use it for something else, mm-hmm. Which makes sense. Too bad it made it into the book, but, yeah.
But in my head, it's the Hogsmeade around Ouagadougou. Or Ouagadougou. I like Ouagadougou better. Anyway.
I think that's probably what it is.
I think it's right too. So at last, Dumbledore straightened up. "She's not dead, Argus," he said softly. Lockhart stopped abruptly in the middle of counting the number of murders he had prevented. "Not dead," choked Filch. "But why is she all stiff and frozen?" "She has been petrified," said Dumbledore. "Ah, I thought so," said Lockhart.
"No, you didn't. You did not. Why are you lying?"
"But how, I cannot say. Ask him," shrieked Filch, turning his blotched and tear-stained face to Harry. "No second year could have done this," said Dumbledore firmly. "It would take dark magic of the most advanced." "He did it. He did it," Filch spat. "You know what he wrote on the hall. He found in my office. He knows I'm a squib," he finished.
"I never touched Mrs. Norris," Harry said loudly, "and I don't even know what a squib is." And so that's the other thing, is like, Harry's muggle race, for all intents and purposes, Harry's muggle born. Mm-hmm. And so, and that's the thing, like, first of all, not only does he not know what a squib is, second of all, I can't think of many muggle borns, unless they're just horrible assholes who would think themselves superior to a squib. Like,
I can.
I said unless they're assholes.
Oh.
I'm just saying, like, or at least not to superior necessarily, but, like, go to the point where they attack them.
But can I list the assholes?
Huh?
Can I list the asshole?
Hold up.
Okay.
I'm just saying that, yeah, I just feel like even if he didn't know what a squib was, one, Harry's not that kind of person, but then also, like, as a muggle-born, it just seems like, why would you, unless you're, like, a serial killer? I don't even know. Like, who are you going to say?
Voldemort was muggle-raised.
But he's half-blood. Yeah, no, he's muggle-raised.
He's like Harry, but he's muggle-raised.
Yeah, he is. But I'm saying, has he been killing squibs?
Yeah.
Who?
He just petrified Miss North. Spoiler alert. I'm saying.
Right. Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm sitting here like, bro. I'm thinking of him as, like, at the height of his power, not right now. So that's why I'm just like, I don't.
But he did kill the muggle studies professor.
Well, but muggles and muggle-borns and squibs are different things.
Very true.
That's the other thing. Like, I don't know. Unless you're Voldemort, which I feel like is an extreme example, you know what I mean? But
that's,
like,
why
as
when
a regular,
you said, unless they're asshole, that
Yeah. But it's just, like, unless you're a horrible person, and I understand people like Draco, like, if Draco had found out Filch was a squib, I totally understand that, like,
He would ostracize him
and all that stuff. He might not attack his cat. I feel like anyone given the chance would attack Mrs. Norris, but maybe not, and not petrifier, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, so I don't know. It's kind of like that moment in Goblet of Fire when Barty Crouch accuses Harry of casting the dark mark, and you're just like, dude, like, you're so worked up that you can't even think straight and be reasonable and rational. That's all.
Yeah.
Rubbish, snarled Filch. He saw my quick spell letter. If I might speak, Headmaster. No, you may not, Snape. Why don't you shut up? Potter and his friends may have simply been in the wrong place at the wrong time. But we do have a set of suspicious circumstances here. Why was he in the upstairs corridor at all? Why wasn't he at the Halloween feast?
Harry, Ron, and Hermione all launch into an explanation about the Death Day party. There are hundreds of ghosts there. They'll tell you where we were. But why not join the feast afterward?
Which is a valid question, even though it's none of your business and you shouldn't even be here in the first place. Go away, Snape.
Why go up that corridor? Because we were tired and wanted to go to bed, he said, without any supper. I didn't think ghosts provided food fit for living people at their parties. We weren't hungry, said Ron loudly as his stomach gave a huge rumble. Snape's nasty smile widened.
I suggest, Headmaster, that Potter is not being entirely truthful. It might be a good idea if he were deprived of certain privileges until he is ready to tell us the whole story. I personally feel he should be taken off the Gryffindor Quidditch team until he is ready to be honest. He is not subtle at all. Like, my thing is, like, I get it, you have a vendetta, but, like, if you're gonna do this, be smart about it. Don't be just outright, like, oh, he shouldn't have Quidditch. Like, that's really the, this is really the moment, also. This is the moment to do this. After the cat's been petrified and everybody's afraid, the Chamber of Secrets has been opened, and you're worried about Quidditch, go away.
Really, Severus, Professor McGonagall, said Professor McGonagall sharply. I see no reason to stop the boy playing Quidditch. This cat wasn't hit over the head with a broomstick. There is no evidence at all that Potter has done anything wrong. And this is, like, one of the things that I've been paying a lot of attention. I've always been very interested in, like, the NCAA and amateur sports and how they get treated and how athletes get treated. Mm-hmm. But it's very troubling when you have these amateur sports that take on this life of their own and this weight and this importance. Obviously, Snape has a lot of different things about Harry, and Quidditch isn't, like, the main one, but him being great at Quidditch and beating Slytherin doesn't help, you know, the way that Snape treats him. And it's just so gross to, like, use, like, Mrs. North is sitting on a table petrified right now, right. And Snape is trying to get a leg up
on Quidditch. That's what I'm saying. It's, you know, real, like, that doesn't matter right now.
And
like, that's what I was saying. Like, there's so many other things happening that why are you even...
But I really appreciate this being added into the chapter because it shows, like, even though they're at Hogwarts and it's, you know, magical school and blah, 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 like, those, that kind of, like, taking fandom and stuff to the next level, especially when it comes to sports, is right. Universal.
Right.
It's totally just right. a human thing.
Doing way too much.
Yeah.
Innocent until proven guilty, Severus, said Dumbledore firmly. Snape looked furious. So did Filch. My cat has been petrified, he shrieked, his eyes popping. I want to see some punishment. And I'm like, of who? Anyone? Like, just anyone? Like,
that's I literally wrote that. Like, I was like, I don't know what, actually, I don't know what I was thinking, because I just wrote Black Lives Matter police unpunished what?
I think I kind of get that. It's just like the idea that, or maybe I don't.
Oh, yeah. It's just like, yeah. No, the idea that, like, when you're hurting, you want someone to
hurt, but it doesn't matter who it is. And that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, it's just you want to see punishment. It's like, wouldn't you rather see punishment than the person who actually did it?
Because
obviously then it, like, they may not do it again, but they could, and that seems more reasonable than just of, like, a person who happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. We will be able to cure her, Argus, said Dumbledore. Professor Sprout recently managed to procure some mandrakes. As soon as they have reached their full size, I will have a potion made that will revive Mrs. Norris. Again, I'm picturing this, like, 6-foot mandrake. This 6-foot bro, like, crying under the, what's it called, the ground. And then Mrs. Norris pulls him up and chops him up. Hashtag feminism.
Mandrake.
Hashtag.
Is that why you said crying?
Hashtag feminism. No, I just said because mandrakes cry, but that's even better.
I know when that mandrake blink.
Do, do, do.
That can only mean do, one do, thing.
Do, do, do. Okay.
I love Drake, by the way. If you're listening, which you're probably not, but if you are, hey, boo.
I'll make it, Lockhart butted in. I must have done it 100 times. I could whip up a mandrake restorative draught in my sleep. Actually, you can't. Go away. Excuse me, said Snape icily, but I believe I'm the potions master at this school. I don't know who to bench, man. That's so me struggling. Actually, what's hilarious is, like, earlier today, I read the chapter in Order of the Phoenix between Snape and Umbridge, and I'm just like, oh my god, who do I want to win? I don't even know.
Obviously.
That moment, up until, like, the very end, which obviously we can talk about in whatever, however many years, it's hilarious. That's all.
Obviously.
So,
you may go, Dumbledore said. Get it? Because, you know, they're bickering and none of this has anything to do with Ron, Harry, and Hermione at this point. Harry squinted at his friends' darkened faces as they closed the door quietly behind them. Do you think I should have told them about the voice I heard? No, said Ron without hesitation. Hearing voices no one else can hear isn't a good sign, even in the wizarding world. Says Ron.
Exactly.
Not Hermione.
Okay, and
Ron,
this is a moment I think we should actually talk about
world.
This. I think this is a
Stop
moment.
Stop giving Hermione lines that don't make sense for her character and taking away from Ron.
Because I actually was going to say that, but this is another thing I want to talk about, and I'm sure we'll talk about it later on as, like, the books progress, but not privileging, like, putting Hermione before Ron happens a lot. And so this is, like, in the books, we get this a lot, and we've talked about it. Like, we get these moments where, like, Harry and Ron are very clearly together. They're clearly best friends. They're always best friends. And even when they're fighting, it's, like, a big deal. But they only fight twice.
Mm-hmm.
But in 7 years. And
yeah.
So you get all these moments where it's very clear that, like, I mean, yes, Harry and Hermione are close and they're friends and they have, like, you know, they're best friends still, but Harry and Ron are, like, road dogs, like, for real, forever. And I feel like, and it's frustrating watching the movies when Ron all of a sudden is in the background. It's like the first two books, he's kind of around, but then he's the comedic foil because with his little faces and shit. And then, he's kind of in the third one. That's when he starts to become more background. Fourth one, he gets into a fight, and then that's it. Fifth one, what does he do? Nothing. He just makes a couple jokes. Sixth one, he's like the lavender thing, but there's nothing that really brings him and Harry together as best friends. They don't, like, solidify that.
And also,
and it's
nothing
just
that
like,
really.
And it's more like Harry and Hermione, because the book, like, obviously the writers of the movies, like, ship Harry and Hermione, like, to the fullest. It's
yes.
kind of ridiculous.
Which is why we have all of these other people now shipping Harry and Hermione.
Right. And also why Harry and Jenny have, like, absolutely
no
chemistry. And, like, it's just, yeah, it's very frustrating. And so reading these things, even, like, this is a small thing where, like, they give Hermione the line instead of Ron. But instead of solidifying, like, Ron's knowledge and his, like, his own character, it's more about, like, oh, Hermione's smart. She knows that she'll know this. Or,
yeah.
like, oh, like, even the earlier, was it the last chapter? The one before that, two chapters ago, when she didn't know what a mudblood was. Like, you know what I mean? Like, pay attention. These things are written for a specific reason. Like, people say what they say for certain reasons. It's not just, like, you can't just give Hermione everything because she's a know-it-all.
And you can't get...
She just happens to be a really smart person who reads a lot and most likely has a photographic memory.
But you also can't,
like,
get a lot of current... society, like, the societal norms and current affairs and events, you can't get that from any of the books that Hermione would be open to. And then
reading in general,
just
because it's like it's happening now. It's hard to write about those things.
Yeah, I mean, you can look at
changes.
It changes very quickly, and
they don't have shit like Twitter, so.
Seriously. And Ron being embedded in the wizarding world is very important. And it also, I think, besides what you said about kind of lowering his friendship and his bond with Harry.
That moment in Deathly Hallows when Harry's like, I have to go die. And Ron just stands in the background. What is that? Why didn't you go hug your best friend that you've known for seven, eight years? He's your brother. Like,
you've been through
everything together.
You're willing to put your life on the line for him, but you're
not. But he's about to go die, and you're just going to stand there while Hermione hugs him? No, that makes absolutely no sense.
But what I also think, too, is that, so it does do that. Mad Max just won 3 Oscars. That movie is bad. Anyway,
can you get off?
I'm focused again. It doesn't just diminish their friendship and their relationship. It diminishes Ron's importance to the trio.
Right.
And so, like you said, he becomes a comedic foil, and then he becomes, you know, Hermione's love interest,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, like, Hermione has this unrequited love for him during the sixth book, and he's just, like, you know, has the emotional range of a teaspoon.
And he's goofy, and he, like...
Yeah, and he's not paying attention, but
mm-hmm.
it's...
Like, he's actually a fully developed and, like, well-written character who has a lot of depth and is Harry Potter's motherfucking best friend.
Yes.
The fuck?
And is going to be looking out for Harry's best interests.
Yeah. Period.
At all times. So anyway, I know it's weird, said Harry. The whole thing's weird. What was that writing on the wall about? Oh, wait, the chamber has been opened. Oh,
it doesn't matter. You're good.
Well, I mean, no, this doesn't matter because of what we just talked about.
Yeah.
So something in Ron's voice made Harry ask, "You do believe me, don't you?" "Of course I do," said Ron quickly. "But you must admit it's weird."
Yeah.
I know it's weird. The whole thing's weird. What was the writing on the wall about? The chamber has been opened. You know, it sort of rings a bell. I think someone told me a story about a secret chamber at Hogwarts once. Might have been Bill Bay.
And what on earth's a squib? That's the other thing. Is it wasn't, he said, he knows I'm a squib. I don't, like,
what is
don't,
that?
I don't know, what, it know is. What that is. No one explains
someone,
what it is.
Can someone tell me what that is, please?
To his surprise, Ron stifled a snigger, which is, like, when I was like, okay, Ron, side eye. But then he's like, well, it's not funny, really, but as it's Filch, which I get. It's, like, one of those things where you feel vindicated because, like, the person you hate has something horrible going on with him.
But also...
which is, like, really petty, but then also, like, I get
And also, because, like, also... is another part of Ron's character where he and the Weasleys in general mostly are above this kind of, you know, pure blood, half blood. They find all that stuff nonsense, but that doesn't mean that, like, certain things do not seep into their psyche. The way they think about house elves, the way that they think about squibs, you know.
Werewolves, for example. There's that one article or somebody was tweeting something, it was so long ago now, about Ron being racist.
Mm-hmm.
And it being okay because he, like, evolves and, you know what I mean? Like, he becomes
like, that's a great article.
Shit, we have to find that because that was amazing. It was mostly about him and Remus, I think.
Yeah, and he has, but he does, he has these prejudices.
Exactly.
And they're built in the fact that he's grown up in this world, in this environment. And as much as we like to say, you know, Draco is kind of the antithesis of Ron in certain ways, because it's not because Ron is immune to those things. It's because Draco accepts him wholeheartedly.
Right.
And Ron pushes back. And then even on things he doesn't push back on, once it's explained to him, like, that is not a good way of thinking. Or once he gets to know a werewolf, which is, like, such an allegory for HIV and being gay. Like, once you know someone and you know that they're a full person and they're not just a werewolf or whatever, he changes.
Right, and I think a part of that is the way that he's raised. Like, with Draco, he's like, actively taught, like, bigoted beliefs and, like, behaviors. Whereas, like, with the Weasleys, even if they may have these preconceived notions that, like, you know, their society, like, they've been,
socialized.
Yes, thank you. They've been socialized into, so it's, like, some things they don't know to question, but they know... They're raised to question, you know what I mean? Like, they're raised to be tolerant and to, like, interact with people as people. And so, even if you have these preconceived notions, if you're raised in a specific way, like, not to just be really, like, staunch in your beliefs or whatever, but to be open to listening to what other people have to say and to, like, their humanity, then it's easier and it's to, like, become more aware and to not be as, like, prejudiced or whatever.
Yeah.
And so even when with the Weasleys have, you know, like, Molly has her issues, but they're raised in a way where that's not the end of it. It's still, they're still willing to, like, grow and to, like, learn.
Agreed.
So, a squib is someone who was born into a wizarding family but hasn't got any magical powers. Kind of the opposite of muggle-born wizards, but squibs are quite unusual. If Filch is trying to learn magic from a quick spell course, I reckon he must be a squib. It would explain a lot, like why he hates students so much. He's bitter, which is true. The clock chimed somewhere. Midnight, said Harry. We better get into bed before Snape comes along and tries to frame us for something else.
I want to also bring up, because I wrote, where's Hermione in this conversation? It, to me, I wrote that because of what we talked about too, with, like, her position in the movies versus the books, is that Hermione, above all, is a student. So she knows what she doesn't know and she wants to learn.
Exactly.
So she's listening.
She's absorbing this. That's the thing. So it's not like it's in Prisoner of Azkaban when Snape calls her a know-it-all, which he's going to get benched for, we'll just say right now.
Yes.
He calls her a know-it-all, and it's like, yes, she takes pride in, like, in knowing things and getting knowledge. Things right and in knowledge. But part of that is also knowing, like you said, when to listen and when to learn. Like, there's a time when you learn, there's a time when you actually, like, give information. And, yeah, she's good at that. Anyway, for a few days, the school could talk of little else but the attack on Mrs. Norris. Filch kept it fresh in everyone's mind by pacing the spot where he had been where she had been attacked, as though he thought the attacker might come back. Harry had seen him scrubbing the message on the wall with Mrs. Scour's all-purpose magical mess remover, but to no effect. The word still gleamed as brightly as ever on the stone. So, is it written in blood?
I believe so. It's like...
It doesn't say what it's written in. Well, it does, later on it tells us it's like chicken blood. Mm-hmm. So is there some extra magic on there that this magical mess remover can?
Yeah.
Like, does Mrs. Scour's all-purpose magical mess remover not apply to blood? Because that would really suck. Like, that seems
And it seems inefficient. Like with all of the wizarding mishaps that we've read about, like, there's got to be some blood splatter.
I mean, in addition to just being like, there's hella girls and like, puberty and shit is a thing. I just feel like...
Well...
You know.
Good point. Well made. Good point,
anyway,
well
made. Go ahead. No.
Ginny Weasley seemed very disturbed by Mrs. Norris' fate. According to Ron, she was a great cat lover. But you haven't really got to know Miss Norris, Ron told her briefingly. Honestly, we're much better off without her. Ginny's lip trembled. Stuff like this doesn't often happen at Hogwarts. Are you sure? Because it feels like it happens all the time at Hogwarts. They'll catch the maniac who did it and have him out of here in no time. I just hope he's got time to petrify a filch before he's expelled. I'm only joking, as Ginny Blanche.
Yeah.
Because Ginny's the one
who's doing it. So Ginny is, like, freaking out, and Ron's, like, making jokes and shit, which obviously he doesn't realize, but, yeah. It's, like, a moment where he's, like, trying to cheer her up, but she's like, bruh, I did this. I can't. Or I think I did. I don't even know if she knows that she's done it, but I think that she's like...
I think what it is is that... Blackout,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Can't remember, and she wakes up with, you know,
chicken blood and feathers and shit. That's what it was. Okay, yeah.
And so...
she's not totally aware that she's doing it, but she can make... She's a smart person.
Like, yeah.
She can...
I mean...
make some inferences and some connections.
It's not a huge leap.
Yeah.
And I think... It's so brilliant how they weave Ginny into this.
Mm-hmm.
Which just makes me so mad about, again, the movies, and we'll get to it, but,
am I gonna hate all the movies by the end of this?
I think so! I really do! I can't imagine!
I'd be like, what the fuck, man? They're all my least favorite.
And you know, like,
Order of the Phoenix is still my least favorite.
There's been this whole thing, right, about how books are obviously better than the movies, and there are all these reasons why, right? It allows you to put, you can put yourself into them, and it has more detail,
right.
And take, you know, they can take
liberties.
There's
more things happening, and like, all that stuff.
I just feel like some movies are very well done.
And I think the thing is
adaptations,
that,
I guess.
I think that as movies with, like, standing alone, which is, it's hard to do that, it's hard to, like, divorce it from its source material, but I think as movies, they are well done. I think the problem is that, as we're seeing, as we read this, like, these books are really, there's, like, a lot happening.
There's
not just, like, on the surface. And so I think that the movies do really well at capturing the real, like, overarching lessons, but not so much the undercurrent, like, the really small things that are really important and that build upon those larger lessons. And also, like, just developing the characters in general. They kind of suck at that.
You know what I think, too, is that we have this whole generation of people who are, like, true Potterheads that love these books and, you know, go to bat for them. And they are always, to me, like, so many times people are like, oh, I see your Harry Potter tattoo. Or, you know, you like Harry Potter or whatever, you know, I'm wearing the shirt or whatever.
I bleed Harry Potter.
Yeah, exactly. But they're like, and then they follow up with, like, you know, I thought it was cute. I watched the movies. And it's like...
You're just like,
The movies miss so much.
Excuse me, sir.
Go sit down.
Like,
and I think that if we were able to say, were able to, like, understand, like, the depth of these books separate from the what they saw in the movies, I would feel better about it.
And I think the other thing is that it's not that they miss so much, because I think part of it, and I, as we're talking about this, is kind of what I'm coming to, the realization is, like, when we say that they miss so much, we don't just mean they like, left out some scenes.
Yeah,
because that's my issue with Order of the Phoenix is, like, yes, they left out all of these scenes, and they may not seem important to, like, the main plot, but they're very important to the story overall. Both just, like, the overarching, like, the series, like, stuff comes up later, and then also just the feeling and, like, the lessons that are being taught. It's important, you know what I mean? Like, even Sirius, like, I love Gary Oldman, and he wasn't even able to give, like, Sirius as much justice because of how he wasn't written in the way that he should have been written. freaking Barty Crouch Jr. I got pissed about David Tennant being underutilized. And I'm like, it's David Tennant, man.
But also Barty Crouch
Jr. It's Gary Oldman. And Barty Crouch's, so many things.
Barty Crouch
like,
Jr.'s like
story is important. And they
have depth to it that you learn, like, it's basically like what Malfoy could have become. Or I'm just sitting here like grasping for words to explain how you miss these things. And it's like you said, it's not just like, oh, there's this scene and it's cool or whatever. Because the movies, I'm sorry, one of the best things I've ever seen is the duel between Dumbledore and Voldemort.
Oh, my God, ever.
Down.
Literally, that's like the
fire.
Like, I hate that movie except that particular scene. I'm like, how did you do that? What are these things?
It's amazing. And they're able to do that and bring these things to life. And they have, you know, great actors. And they're able to bring this stuff to life that I'm really happy that they were able to do. It's just that there's so much more.
Mm-hmm.
And it couldn't be done in the movies. Like, I'm cognizant of it, right? Like, I know we can't sit here with a 23-hour-long movie, though we could.
No, but I do think there are choices that were made and choices that, you know what I mean? Like,
but the choices
that,
and this goes back into Hollywood, the choices that are made for story and pocketbook and not, like, I think it's important to include Winky. It's
important
to include all of Creature
mm-hmm.
and how Creature is treated by Sirius, who is a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's really important.
It's really important, and it informs what he does.
How about Lupin and Tonks? How about Bill?
Like, my steak's a little rare. Why?
What does that even mean?
Who are you?
Who are you?
Are you Charlie? I don't remember. Oh, Floor, why are you here again?
Right. Nobody explains that. Where'd you come from?
Nothing.
There's just...
Nothing.
What? Why? Why? Why?
And the idea, too, that Floor was only marrying Bill because he was handsome.
Right. And then you find out,
No, there's depth there.
Yeah.
And it's important. It will take us forever to get through this book, this chapter, if we
don't move on. Okay. The attack had also had an effect on Hermione. It was quite usual for Hermione to spend a lot of time reading, but she was now doing almost nothing else. Nor could Harry and Ron get much response from her when they asked what she was up to, and not until the following Wednesday did they find out. Harry had been held back in potions where Snape had made him stay behind to scrape two worms off the desk. Why? After a hurried lunch, he went upstairs to meet Ron in the library and saw Justin Finch-Fletchley, the Hufflepuff boy from Herbology, coming toward him. Harry had just opened his mouth to say hello when Justin caught sight of him, turned abruptly, and sped off in the opposite direction. So people already suspect that he's the heir of Slytherin or whatever, but, like, also, y'all are just dumb. Why are you dumb?
Hogwarts is, like, what I imagine the rest of high school was for a lot of people.
That's what
I was
saying.
Paying attention. I wasn't paying attention.
It's really extra.
But I feel
it's
like
Mean Girls for like
magic
people.
But I feel like though the fact that we have Mean Girls and the fact that this is written like that's how high school probably was for a lot of people.
Right.
I just wasn't paying attention.
Same.
I was busy. I was reading.
Right.
I was reading, to be honest.
Harry found Ron at the back of the library measuring his history of magic homework. Professor Binns had asked for 3-foot-long composition on the Medieval Assembly of European Wizards. Okay, so I'm going to be doing this thing because I was reading The Order of the Phoenix and Ron was complaining about some shit and I was like, dude, what's wrong with you? I tweeted about it. So I was like, and this is like a rough, I didn't
estimate.
It's a rough estimate. I didn't like actually pull out a ruler.
It's 8.5 by 11.
But you don't, but you know, you have like the inch thing around it and shit.
Mm-hmm.
You have like the inch.
Margins.
Yeah, margin, that's the word. So 3-foot-long composition is like 4.5 pages, which I feel like, okay, as a second year, that's like a good, 12 years old, that's like, that's a lot. So he's 8 inches short, which means he's 1 page. I understand that. 4.5 pages long and you have like a page short. Sometimes you like write, you know, I understand
bigger.
Like you write essays or like even you're writing. I'm also they're handwriting it, which is like some shit. But I mean, I guess their hands probably don't cramp up because they don't have computers. So they're not like lazy. But I understand that versus when I'm reading Order of the Phoenix and I guess like they mention it later on. So that's why I'm probably going to bring it up more. But there's a moment when Ron is complaining about having to write a 1-foot essay and I'm like, dude, that's literally a page and a half. That's a reading response. That's like not anything at all.
I've been called out by listeners about my Ravenclaw I don't know what the word is, like I'm stuck up or something about it, but...
A page and a half. I know, me. That's what I'm saying. I'm Hufflepuff, but, like, I have Ravenclaw
tendencies.
No. Especially because
what I was going to say,
I just got out of college.
He ain't no Ravenclaw, because I'm who was complaining about
like,
a page and a half.
But I'm like,
I'm on your side.
Right. I'm just saying, like, I just got out of college, obviously, and, like, granted, I'm an English major. We were writing, like, 15 to 20 page papers.
I'll write a
that's
page
not
and a half at my job
I'm like,
in a second.
That's what I'm saying. That's not a lot to write. Like, 15 to 20, okay, if you have, like, research and shit, that's a lot. It's going to take a minute. It's possible, but a page and a half, that's a reading response. That's like nothing. It's a little book report that you just write. You don't have to do nothing else other than just write a little. That's not a lot to write. Anyway.
Also, though, History of Magic is so lit. Why is Professor Binn so boring?
It's so frustrating.
The medieval
assembly
of European
wizards.
Like, that has so much to do with colonialization and many things that are interesting.
You got 4.5 pages to do it wrong. Come on, man. You can do it.
Medieval assembly.
Also, I just wanted to bring up because...
That's Merlin!
Yes. Okay.
That's the sword in the stone! Do you know how many inches and scrolls I can write about the sword in the stone?
You've been watching too much. I'm going to take a break.
Ow! I
Okay.
Really beloved.
Okay, no, stop. Okay.
Beloved.
Okay. So this is another thing I wanted to point out, just because I was reading it and I was like, wait, because they're measuring by like feet and inches and stuff, and I was like, wait, hold up, metric. And then I remembered I read on Pottermore that their measurements are they're in the imperial system because they
didn't change
because they're wizards and they're like, who cares about what muggles are doing? Also, apparently there's like this little thing on Pottermore where Joe, so like in the article about measurements and stuff, mm-hmm. Joe says that like she was offered a membership by the like
Imperial Society
and
she was like, I don't care.
But then she like decided to subscribe because she was gonna make her sister mad. So I'm like, I would do some shit like that.
So petty. I do that stuff.
Yeah. She was just like, I don't care, but you know, I would. Okay. So Hermione's already done 4 feet 7 inches, which is 6.5 pages, and her writing is tiny, which means it's probably like 7 pages.
Because she's
like
about Merlin and the Sorcerer's Stone.
But I'm like, but I'm just not the Sorcerer's Stone.
The sword and the stone.
Yeah, okay, Merlin and the Sorcerer's Stone.
I would read that too.
Okay, where is she? Asked Harry, grabbing the tape measure and unrolling his own homework. I think it's hilarious that they have to like literally measure their homework. I think that's really funny. Somewhere over there, said Ron, looking for another book. I think she's trying to read the whole library before Christmas. That's me.
Harry told Ron about Justin Finch Fletcher running away from him. Don't know why you care. Always thought he was a bit of an idiot. All that junk about Lockhart being so great. Hermione emerged between the bookshelves. All the copies of Hogwarts and History have been taken out. And there's a 2-week waiting list. I wish I hadn't left my copy at home. You could send it. Oh, can she send it now? I think she could send it now to her parents.
Yeah.
You could send it now and ask them to give it to the owl.
But I mean, can the owl... That's a lot, it seems like.
I mean, it took like 2 hours, but the owls are magical. He'll go get a buddy.
Maybe. Because
it took like 2 hours to carry his broomstick, right? Or something like that, so.
Oh, yeah. So
they double up.
Okay.
Anyway, why do you want it, said Harry.
Wait, hold up. She couldn't fit it in her trunk because of all of Lockhart's books. That's -1 for Lockhart. Oh, you know what I can do?
You know what I can do?
Stop. Does that pin work? Can you? It might not work. I'm gonna do like, I'm gonna have to go through and just like count all the times Snape and Lockhart get on my nerves, and then that's a good way. Does this pin even work? Not really. Boo. Okay. But I'm gonna count all the times, and that's how I'm gonna figure out the bench.
I already know who I'm benching.
Duh, Bayana. Duh.
I didn't put it in our worksheet, so we have a sheet where we put who we benched and who. I didn't do it because I didn't want to get, well, A, I couldn't find the document, but B, I didn't want Bayana to give me side eye. I know who I'm benching.
Okay.
Anyway.
But yeah, so like, come on, Locker, you really don't need, also I was like, their little trunks don't have extension charms? That sucks.
She probably doesn't know how to do it yet. So.
But I mean like already put, because those are the things that they're like really heavily regulated, so I would think that like whoever makes them would
do that,
but...
So why do you want it, said Harry. The same reason everyone else wants it, to read up on the legend of the Chamber of Secrets. What's that? That's just it. I can't remember. I can't find the story anywhere else. Hermione, let me read your composition, said Ron desperately. No, I won't. You've had 10 days to finish. I only need another 2 inches. Come on, come on, Ron. Now's not the time.
Do your work, Ron.
The bell rang. Ron and Hermione led the way out of History of Magic bickering. I wonder why I put not true so sad. Oh, this is why. Because History of Magic was the dullest subject on their schedule. That's not true. It's not dull. Professor Binns is dull. Oh, so sad. I want to take History of Magic so bad.
Just not with him.
Not with him, but I just want to, know. Do you think, JK, if I had enough money, I could pay her to teach me History of Magic?
Maybe.
If I would have won that, like, Powerball.
The Powerball.
Dang.
Yeah.
I got something to put on my to-do list. Professor Binns was the only ghost teacher, and the most exciting thing that ever happened in his classes was his entering the room through the blackboard. Ancient and shriveled, many people said he hadn't noticed he was dead. He simply got up to teach one day and left his body behind him in an armchair in front of the staff room fire. Professor Binns opened his notes today and began to read in a flat drone like an old vacuum cleaner until nearly everyone in the class was in a deep stupor, occasionally coming to long enough to copy down a name or a date, then falling asleep again. He had been speaking for a half an hour when something happened that had never happened before. Hermione put up her hand.
I love that. Actually, I wrote that somewhere. Where is it? Shit. I just like it because it's interesting to, like, Hermione always puts up her hand, but in that moment, something that's never happened before, I just thought that was really interesting. That's
because
all. Because it's Professor Binns. I get it. Like, yeah. I understand. Obviously, in the context, it makes sense, but those two sentences together, like, taken out of context is, like, contradictory, and that makes it kind of cool.
Yes.
That's all.
Professor Binns glancing up in the middle of a deadly dull lecture on the International Warlock Convention of 1289. I need to know!
Also, really quickly, McGonagall didn't tell this story. Professor Binns did. How come we can't have our ghost teacher in the movies? Huh? Huh?
Well, I understand that, because that just costs money.
I don't.
They already got a bunch of ghosts.
Who cares? They don't even use the ghosts!
Okay. Granger, Granger, Professor. I was wondering
even
if
know
you
the
could
names.
Tell us anything about the Chamber's secrets. Dean Thomas, who had been sitting with his mouth hanging open, gazing out of the window, jerked out of his trance. Lavender's brown head came up off her arms, and Neville Longbottom's elbow slipped off the desk. Professor Binns blinked. My subject is History of Magic. I deal with facts, Miss Granger, not myths and
okay,
legends.
Can we talk about how he's really, like, superior and shit, but can't even teach, but his class is boring.
And doesn't know his students'
So how
names.
Do you, you don't know your students' names. How do you revere the subject so much that you can't even teach it right, but you can't teach it right?
He's boring. That doesn't mean he doesn't love the subject.
But I'm saying you can't then be like, I teach History of Magic, but you can't even teach it. Like,
he thinks he does.
He's horrible.
Yes, I know. Okay. He cleared his throat with a small noise like chalk snapping and continued. In September of that year, a subcommittee of Sardinian sorcerers... What is that? I need to know! Look at Root. What is that? Why are you so boring?
Also, alliteration. September Seriously. Subcommittee of Sardinian Sorcerers?
Joe.
Alliteration.
Okay. Hermione's hand was waving in the air again. Miss Grant. No. It is not Miss Grant.
You
nor has
heard
it
Granger.
Never been Miss Grant. She's already told you what her name was.
Yeah. You gotta... Come on.
Please, sir, don't legends always have a basis in fact?
Yes.
Well, Ben said slowly... One could argue that, I suppose. However, the legend which you speak is such a very sensational, even ludicrous tale. But the whole class was now hanging on Ben's every word. He looked dimly at them all, every face turned to his. Harry could tell he was completely thrown by such an unusual show of interest. That's where he becomes a bad teacher. Is that
right.
Not only that he thinks he's teaching well or whatever, but...
He doesn't think that anyone cares, but...
Obviously they do, because
they
once
do.
You start...
Talking about something that's interesting, then they're in, and not even something that's interesting, but like in a way that's interesting.
When you start engaging with
right.
them, and you're not talking
after.
Bernie Sanders campaign. Sorry, no, I won't do it because that's not what this isn't about. That. So,
but there's a difference between talking at someone and talking
to them,
and like building with them and having discussions with them, as opposed to just assuming that they're like empty receptacles for knowledge that you're just gonna pour into them. Like you have to have some kind of engagement that's gonna let them like want to. Like, learn. Obviously, as you can tell, I am a descendant of, like, a billion teachers. So, yeah.
Yes.
Like
but
all of my family.
But Bayana said, I wholeheartedly agree with. So, I also have to show you this note. So, you all know. Okay, let me see the chambers.
Well, just so you guys know, so you're not like, what the heck? It was alliteration, like
we were saying before. Lit-teration. So, of course, you all know that Hogwarts was founded over 1,000 years ago. The precise date is uncertain by the 4 greatest witches and wizards of the age: Godric Gryffindor, Helga Hufflepuff, Rowena Ravenclaw, and Salazar Slytherin. Alliteration. Mm-hmm. They built this castle together far from prying Muggle eyes, for it was an age when magic was feared by common people and witches and wizards suffered much persecution. Also very interesting. Someone wrote today that they like to believe in witches because hundreds of women were killed because of this, like, fear of magic, mm-hmm. and so she at least hopes that they were killed for a reason. And I was right. like, I agree with that.
That's
like, you were still optimistic. Like persecuted, but at least you were persecuted because you had magic.
Right.
Get on.
For a few years, the founders worked in harmony together, seeking out youngsters who showed signs of magic and bringing them into the castle to be educated. But then disagreement sprang up between them. A rift began to grow between Slytherin and the others. Slytherin wished to be more selective about the students admitted to Hogwarts. He believed that magical learning should be kept within all magic families. He disliked taking students of Muggle parentage, believing them to be untrustworthy. So this is like a thing. So obviously we see in a second... and, like, throughout the series that Slytherin had, like, a really extreme reaction to this. But his feeling of wanting to exclude Muggle parents, like, just on its own is valid. Or not parents, Muggle-born is valid because I feel like believing them to be untrustworthy is different from believing them to be inferior. And if you're spending all this time being persecuted and you're being murdered and you're being attacked... I understand, like, if we're gonna be separate, you know what I mean? If we're gonna hide the school, then why would we then allow Muggle people who, like, are Muggle-born or Muggle-raised into mm-hmm. this institution? I understand that. Obviously, he doesn't go in that direction. even though I still believe that Muggle-born should be educated, obviously. But that argument is far more valid than them being inferior and then... creating a monster to go and attack and murder all of them. Those are two different things. There was a serious argument on the subject between Slytherin and Gryffindor, and Slytherin left the school. Also, movie-wise, when McGonagall's like, there was one who had issues, and then Ron's like, 3 guesses who? Like, it's not Slytherin just because he's evil. It's Slytherin because he has really valid opinions on what's going on. And then that manifests, as I said just 2 seconds ago, in some horrible ways.
Think Magneto in the X-Men.
Right. Exactly. That's a much. Gryffindor is Professor Xavier, and Slytherin is Magneto. That makes hell sense. Reliable historical sources tell us this much, but these honest facts have been obscured by the fanciful legend of the Chamber of Secrets. The story goes that Slytherin had built a hidden chamber in the castle of which the other founders knew nothing. Slytherin, according to legend, sealed the Chamber of Secrets so that none would be able to open it until his own true heir arrived at the school. The heir alone would be able to unseal the Chamber of Secrets, unleashing the horror within, and use it to purge the school of all who are unworthy to study magic. Again, ridiculously extreme reaction. Also, like, aren't heirs just, like, descendants in general? So, the Chamber of Secrets has only been opened once in the whole history of the thing by Voldemort, or, like... But did the Gaunts not go? I mean, I know that, like, some are homeschooled, but I'm like, were they the only one? Is he the first one to go to...
I think heir is also, like, you have to kind of... It's not just that you're a descendant, but you have to be, like, deemed worthy. So probably in this magical sense, like, with, like, royalty back then, like, you were not an heir to the throne unless you were a man...
Of course.
And you weren't, like, the bastard son. You were, you know, like, Joffrey or whatever. But, ugh.
But I just feel like, yes, I get, like, the women part of it, which is horrible, but, like, I get that, but...
But, in the magical sense, or even in, like, when you have wills and stuff, you know, like, people are, like, I'm leaving this to the person that upholds this belief. Right. So, probably the heir...
But they all... I don't know.
But they have to be,
just
like,
thinking
worthy.
About the Gaunts, like...
I'm just thinking, like, the Gaunts are, like, not deemed worthy enough and or
maybe
probably not,
like,
smart enough
my thing was, like, did they even go to Hogwarts? Because it seems like, what's his name? What is his name even? I forgot. Marvolo, duh.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. So it seems like Marvolo was really, like cultish, you know what I mean? Like, when they, like, keep their kids all, like, there are only three of them, but it just felt like he was the kind to keep his kids isolated and, like, all weird and gross.
And also, I think probably, if anything, Voldemort's mom probably would have been the one to find it, but she was...
Probably didn't go to Hogwarts. Yeah. He probably didn't see a need for her to go, and then probably with his son was just like, what, you know what I mean? Like, I could teach you.
Yeah.
Macho and shit.
You're a woman, you ain't doing nothing anyway.
Right. The whole thing is errant nonsense, of course. Naturally, the school has been searched for evidence of such a chamber many times by the most learned witches and wizards. It does not exist, a tale told to frighten the gullible. Hermione's hand was back in the air. Sir, what exactly do you mean by the horror within the chamber? That is believed to be some sort of monster, which the heir of Slytherin alone can control. So that's the other thing about this book particularly is, like, it's actually really scary. Like, I feel like, it's watered down because it's still for kids, but in terms of, like, all of the books, this is the one that has more, like, horror-ish type, like, themes.
Gothic, too. And yeah. Especially in terms of, like, they're in a castle, a medieval castle. Exactly. There's, like, suits of armor everywhere.
It is haunted. So it's, like... On top of that, now there's, like, a monster that's, like, going around trying to kill people. And then it's, like, I feel like we could probably take a minute, and we don't have to do it right now, but at some point, like, think about, like, what genre each book kind of falls into.
Mm-hmm. And this would be, like, a gothic.
This is, like,
horror.
Gothic. Goblet of Fire off top is mystery.
Yeah.
Order of Phoenix is political.
Sorcerer's Stone is pure fantasy.
Right.
Whimsy.
We just missed Prisoner of Azkaban. That's like
crime.
Yeah.
Crime thriller.
Crime. Half-Blood Prince.
Mystery. Who is the Half-Blood Prince?
Not really.
Is Draco up to whatever? Is Harry on the right trail?
Kind of.
Who's the bad guy?
But there's also a lot of like high school like angst and shit. Like teenage angst type stuff. Not really, but like
like Veronica
like
Mars.
Love and like
it's like a film noir set in a different in a high school.
Yeah, she plays up the high school, which is one of the reasons I like Half-Blood Prince a lot, and it's kind of why I like the movie despite like a couple scenes that were super unnecessary, but like that everything is like really like dark and like things are really going on, but there's a lot of humor in that movie that I appreciate, and the same with the book. Like while all these horrible things are going on, there's a lot of humor. I didn't say it was my favorite movie. Calm down. And then Deathly Hallows.
They burn the burrow.
And they do, which Why? Is absolutely the worst scene ever in life.
And it's Bellatrix and what's his face?
Fenrir, who they never properly introduce at all.
Why? It's and like, why is those two? Is that when Bill gets bitten? But why? Because Bill doesn't live there.
He doesn't even talk. Okay, anyway. What's Deathly Hallows? I feel like that's back to like...
It's an epic.
It's an epic, yeah. Okay, that was cool. Awesome. All right. Anyway,
we don't have to do this now, but we're going to
do it anyway.
Now.
We just do it anyway. Okay.
I tell you, the thing does not exist, said Ben, shuffling his notes. There is no chamber and no monster. But, sir, said Seamus Finnegan, if the chamber can only be opened by the Slytherin's true heir, no one else would be able to find it, would they? Nonsense, oh flattery. Good God.
That's that Nick Young meme. Just like,
question marks.
Like, what is that? If a long succession of Hogwarts headmasters and headmistresses haven't found the thing, but Professor, you said, Parvati Patil, if you probably have to use dark magic to open it. Just because a wizard doesn't use dark magic doesn't mean he can't, Miss Pennyfeather. What? Where? How did you get that name? I repeat, if the likes of Dumbledore, which actually, despite him getting the wrong name, I'm like, is he confusing them with like past students? Probably. Back when he was like a better teacher.
I don't know, but all I said was retire.
Yeah.
Go off to that great big history of magic.
Okay,
class
wait,
in
okay,
the
wait.
Sky.
So there's a moment, they talk about it in Order of the Phoenix, but I'm not there yet. But when they talk about ghosts and like why they stay, you know what I mean? And it tends to be like, I think Nearly Headless Nick said it was more of a cowardly type of thing where they like decide they're like afraid to go. But he was really just like, I gotta teach. My thing is like, how can you be so committed to teaching and then also suck and then not be good at teaching? You just wasted your death, bro.
I mean, you know, Miley Cyrus really wants to sing. I mean, I guess she's actually a good singer. That's a bad example, but...
Rihanna. Okay, I say that, and I really like her album. I'm not gonna lie.
Ooh.
I really like her album.
I really don't, but that's
I like it, but Higher is freaking, like, kills your eardrums. Like, she really, she's trying to, like, blow, and she is not doing it. Like, the rest of the songs, I'm like, this is good, this is fun, I love, like, all of her album except one song where she's, like, really trying to sing, and I'm like, Rihanna, girl, what's you her, can't do
Rock,
that.
Robert okay. Pattinson really wants to act.
And I'm just like, it's okay. You don't have to do that. Like, do what you're good at, and you're good at making, like, you know, a certain type of music, but save those songs for, like, Jennifer Hudson. Even Beyonce could have killed that song.
Yes.
Jennifer Hudson should have had that song. She would have killed it. Anyway.
That's not here nor there.
But maybe you've got to be related to Slytherin, so Dumbledore couldn't begin Dean Thomas.
That will do. It is a myth. It does not exist. There is not a shred of evidence that Slytherin ever built so much as a secret broom cupboard. I regret telling you such a foolish story. We will, if you please. Or we will return, if you please, to history, to solid, believable, verifiable fact. And that is the most emotion
that he's ever shown, period. Because within 5 minutes, the class sunk back into its usual torpor. Like, what the heck, bro? I just don't understand you being this passionate about it, but not actually being this passionate.
Okay, you're so horrible. Can, as there's like a little break here, mm-hmm. Can I go on a bit of a tangent real
go
quick?
Go ahead.
So, our favorite, who doesn't listen to the show, Obafi, he just tweeted...
Oh, that's my brother, by the way, yeah, in case you were
He tweeted, what the hell is a snitchathon? And I responded, it's when you play Quidditch with extra snitches and the seeker has to catch all of them before the game ends.
Did he say bye, Robin?
He said, I was definitely quoting Boondocks, but I hope you had fun. And I said, I did. I really did.
He's so over
snitch-a-thon!
You.
A snitchathon!
He's over you.
He hates me, but he loves me, and I troll him so hard.
I think it's because you both troll each other.
We both troll each other.
I think that's your relationship, is you just troll each other.
But a snitch-a-thon. Guys, I'm clever as fuck. Anyway.
Okay. I always knew Salazar Slytherin was a twisted old loony, Ron and told Harry and Hermione as they fought their way through the teeming corridors at the end of the lesson to drop off their bags before dinner. But I never knew he started all this pure blood stuff. I wouldn't be in this house if you paid me. Honestly, if the Sorting Hat had tried to put me in Slytherin, I'd have gotten the train straight back home. Hermione nodded fervently, but Harry didn't say anything. His stomach had dropped unpleasantly. Harry had never told Ron and Hermione that the Sorting Hat had seriously considered putting him in Slytherin. He could remember, as though it were yesterday, that small voice that had spoken in his ear when he had placed the hat on his head a year before. You could be great, you know. It's all here, in your head. And Slytherin would help you on the way to greatness, no doubt about that. But Harry, who had already heard of Slytherin House's reputation for turning out dark wizards, had thought desperately, not Slytherin, and the hat had said, oh well, if you're sure, better be Gryffindor. So I know that's a summary, but I read it because there's one thing I feel like, and this keeps coming up where he like feels like, am I supposed to be in Slytherin? It's like throughout the rest of the book, but the hat never said you should be in Slytherin, or you are a Slytherin. He said...
But first,
the whole reason he even brought up Slytherin is because Harry brought up Slytherin. Like, all he says is, like,
I just pointed to the book behind her. We can go back to it. But I understand, like, he's going through Harry's traits when he's sorting him. He's like,
right.
Oh, there's some bad mind.
He says, plenty of courage, I see. Not a bad mind either. There's talent and a nice thirst to prove yourself. So all of those things fit into each thing. Like, courage, Gryffindor. Not a bad mind, Ravenclaw. Talent, Hufflepuff. Thirst to prove yourself, Slytherin. Like, it's all of them. And Harry is the one who puts, like, his own anxieties into it.
Not Slytherin.
And so I don't even think this hat would have put him in Slytherin. Like,
that's a good point. The hat is sentient and can, like, have a conversation. And so the fact that Harry is thinking so fervently not to be in Slytherin
tells him that he's not supposed to be in Slytherin.
But the hat is saying to him, like, you know, I think the hat's trying to say, you know, Slytherin may have a bad rap, and I don't know what you know about it, but, like, you could be great. It's all here. Slytherin could help mm-hmm. you be great in a way that I think Joe kind of gets to later as she starts to kind of try to show the other sides of Slytherin, because I think she realizes that she set them up so...
Yeah.
Concretely as the antagonist and, like, the villain class. And it's like, yeah, there are bad people there, but there are good people there. R.I.B. Slughorn. Like, there are other people that, you know, and then also that, you know, the hat makes mistakes.
Right.
Because Lockhart should have probably been in Slytherin and not in Ravenclaw. And, I don't know. Like, people are complicated and houses do not make you who you are.
Right.
They just kind of keep you, it's about what you value.
Right.
So, as Harry's thinking this, Colin Creevy went past. Hiya, Harry. Hello, Colin, said Harry automatically. Harry, a boy in my class has been saying you're, but Colin was so small he couldn't fight against the tide of people bearing him towards the Great Hall. They heard him squeak, see you, Harry, and he was gone. What's a boy in his class saying about you? That I'm Slytherin's heir, I expect, said Harry, his stomach dropping another inch or so as he suddenly remembered the way that Justin had run away from him at lunchtime. People here will believe anything, said Ron in disgust.
Do you really think there's a Chamber of Secrets? Ron asked Hermione. I don't know, she said, frowning. Dumbledore couldn't cure Mrs. Norris, and that makes me think that whatever attacked her might not be, well, human.
Also, Hermione is so amazing and smart, but it's beyond smartness. Like, she holds herself, and she's so confident in her smarts that, like, Ron and Harry kind of look to her as an authority on something, mm-hmm. Ron asking her, like, do you think there really could be a chamber, is kind of saying, like, you know, I think those things, but I'm a boy, and I believe in rock spurts, you know, like, or whatever, but, like, if you think it could be possible, and you're such a logical person, then we as 12-year-olds who are going to save the school, we should really look into this.
They always, you know, do that. They're still doing that.
They're still doing
it. I'm like, y'all are still doing this shit.
Still.
Some of it is some of it has to do with you. Some of it does not have to do with you. So as she spoke, they turned a corner and found themselves at the end of the very corridor where the attack had happened. They stopped and looked. The scene was just as it had been that night, except there was no stiff cat hanging from the torch bracket, and an empty chair stood against the wall bearing the message, "The Chamber of Secrets has been opened." That's where Filch has been keeping guard, Ron muttered. They looked at each other. The corridor was deserted. Can't hurt to have a poke around, said Harry. Yes, it can, bro. Come on. You've already been accused of doing something. Yeah. People already think you're the heir of Slytherin, even though you're not. And now you're just like, okay, let's have a look around. So he drops his bag, gets on his hands and knees so that he can crawl along searching for clues. Scorch marks, he said, here and here. Come and look at this, said Hermione. This is funny. Harry got up and crossed the window next to the message on the wall. Hermione was pointing on the topmost pane where around 20 spiders were scuttling, apparently fighting to get through a small crack. Have you ever seen spiders act like that? Said Hermione, wondering. No, said Harry. Have you, Ron? Ron?
Ron was standing well back and seemed to be fighting the impulse to run. What's up, said Harry. I don't like spiders, said Ron tensely. I never knew that, said Hermione, looking at Ron in surprise. You've used spiders and potions loads of times. I don't mind them being dead. I just don't like the way they move. Hermione giggled. It's not funny. If you must know, when I was 3, Fred turned my teddy bear into a great big filthy spider because I broke his toy broomstick. You wouldn't like them either if you'd been holding your bear and suddenly it had too many legs and...
Okay, can we, real quick?
That is horrible.
One, okay, so that's the thing is, though, if you think about it, so Ron was 3. One, what sucks is that since he was 3, that was probably one of his first memories ever.
5.
Second, Fred was 5.
Yeah.
So one, that sucks for Ron because that's why it's so ingrained in him because that's literally probably the first thing he ever remembered.
But 2, Fred got that magic in him, bro.
But what I'm saying is he was 5, so it's not like he picked up a wand and was like, whatever spell it is to turn a teddy bear into a spider.
He probably just
got really angry, just like Harry, and he found himself on the roof. Like, Harry, he probably just got really mad, and then all of a sudden the teddy bear was a spider. I don't think it was, like, vindictive in the same way that it would be if it had happened, like, now.
True.
You know what I mean? It's more of like, I'm angry and it just happens because they can't control their magic.
That is amazing.
That it doesn't sound as... The thing is like, it sounds nasty when you think about it.
It sounds horrible.
Just like on the surface, it sounds nasty. But like, when you think about it, Fred, it's like, you think about it as like Ron being 3 and Fred being however old he is now. So like 14. And you're like, what the hell, Fred?
But Fred is
but
5.
But no, he's 5. Hermione's still trying not to laugh. That's so horrible, but I would be that person too.
I'm not, because I got weird phobias.
No, I just think, like, and if it's your friend and then they're like, sometimes it's just like one of those things. Like the time
when we were in San Diego and someone was like, hey, doesn't this bridge that we're walking over look like the bridge in Harry Potter when it got snapped?
I said it after we got off. I didn't even laugh. I didn't even laugh.
Remember that we gotta walk back over here to get to the car.
Sorry.
Rude.
It did look like that.
So rude. Now I can't even walk over that bridge and you have to walk over it all the time during Comic-Con.
Sorry.
And every time. The bridge exists in my everyday life.
Now it actually is hilarious.
It is not funny.
It's not, but it is.
Not at all.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Remember all that water on the floor? Where did that come from? Someone's mopped it up. It was about here, said Ron, level with this door. He reached for the brass doorknob, but suddenly withdrew his hand as though he'd been burned. What's the matter, said Harry. Can't go in there, said Ron. That's the girl's toilet.
That's magic!
What?
Because the doorknob was, like, burning him, like, nah, dude, you're a boy. But also, that is bad, because what about transgendered students?
Exactly. I thought Ron just did it because he was like, oh, we can't go in there.
No, I know, but Harry did it.
No, it was Ron.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do I not get a good reader sticker?
Yeah. Ron reached for it, and then Harry said, what's the matter after that?
The door, as though he'd been burned. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, that's the same thing with, like, I'm just going to do this because it's what I'm doing. But in Order of the Phoenix, when Ron tries to go up to the girl's dormitory and the slide happens, like, yeah, what about transgender?
But I think maybe magic the magic people. Knows that, like, how you identify.
Maybe.
So self-identification plays a part into it.
I feel
that's
like
what I'm gonna believe.
I feel like I'm gonna believe that, and I feel like it makes it like I feel like it's a it's super like plausible that would be the case.
Yes.
Oh, Ron, there won't be anyone in there, said Hermione. That's Moaning Myrtle's place. Come on, let's have a look. So it's flooded. Can we just think about that? It was flooded in the first place because of Peeves. Which technically that means that Peeves saved Mrs. Norris without meaning to.
See, Peeves has a place, and it's why he should have been in this movie.
Yeah, this is true.
Ignoring the large out-of-order sign, she opened the door. This was the gloomiest, most depressing bathroom Harry had ever set foot in. Are bathrooms usually happy and cheery?
I mean, you know.
Well, some of them are, like, yeah. Those, like, really fancy hotel ones.
Right.
There was one in Paris that I had to go to the bathroom. Sorry, tangent. But I wanted to move in. It was so nice. And then they had, like Chanel lotion that when you wash your hands, you know, the lotion and like the lotion. I was like, I want to pocket this because I could probably pay my rent. But sold it. I didn't, but I wanted to. Anywho, the floor was damp and reflected the dull lights given off by the stubs of a few candles burning low in their holders. Hermione put her finger to her lips and set off towards the end stall. Hello, Myrtle. How are you? Harry and Ron went to look. This is a girl's bathroom, she said, eyeing Ron and Harry suspiciously. They're not girls.
How old is Myrtle again?
I think Myrtle was like 13.
Okay.
So she is still 13.
Right.
No, I just wanted to show them how nice it is in here, Hermione agreed. Ask her if she saw anything, Harry mouthed at Hermione. What are you whispering, said Myrtle. Nothing. We want to ask. I wish people would stop talking behind my back. I do have feelings, you know, even if I am dead. I am Myrtle. Just emotional.
Myrtle, no one wants to upset you, said Hermione. Harry only. No one wants to upset me? That's a good one. My life was nothing but misery at this place, and now people come along ruining my death.
I need Myrtle's story.
We wanted to... Well, we kind of get it.
Well, yeah,
we wanted to ask... Sorry. We wanted to ask you if you've... I get what you mean. We wanted to ask if you've seen anything funny lately, because a cat was attacked right outside your front door on Halloween. Did you see anyone near here at night? Said Harry. I wasn't paying attention. Peeves upset me so much that I came in here and tried to kill myself. Then, of course, I remembered that I'm
already dead.
Already dead, said Ron. Oh, boy. Ron has no tact, though. That's the thing. It's like, he tries. He sometimes, like, the thing is, when he tries, he's a little bit better, but not quite. Like, he's just, yeah. Myrtle gave a tragic sob, rose up into the air, turned over and dived headfirst into the toilet, splashing water all over them and vanishing from sight. At least they're clean toilets since nobody's been in there.
True. So Ron and Harry and Ron stood with their mouths open, but Hermione shrugged really. Honestly, that was almost cheerful from Myrtle. Come on, let's go. Harry had barely closed the door on Myrtle's gurgling sobs when a loud voice made all three of them jump. Ron! Percy had stopped dead at the head of the stairs, prefect badge agleam. That's a girl's bathroom. What were you? Just having a look around, Ron shrugged. Clues, you know?
Which is like, no, Ron.
Which, I mean, but also you could have been like, just trying to talk to Myrtle. Did you know that there's a ghost haunt in that? Right. Like, why can't we meet her?
Exactly.
You know,
like, we're interested. We're boys, so we can't meet the ghost? What the
yeah,
heck?
Yeah, you know, like, that makes...
Sexism.
Yeah, like, that seems like a much...
But not clues, because one... Yeah. You should be looking for clues, Ron.
You really shouldn't.
My goodness.
Percy swelled in a manner that reminded Harry forcefully of Mrs. Weasley. I love that.
Yeah,
get away from there, Percy said. Don't you care what this looks like? Coming back here while everyone's at dinner? Why shouldn't we be here? Said Ron hotly. Listen, we never laid a finger on that cat. That's what I told Ginny, but she still seems to think you're going to be expelled. I've never seen her so upset, crying her eyes out. You might think of her. All the first years are thoroughly overexcited by this business. You don't care about Ginny, said Ron, whose ears were now red. Reddening, which, I mean, they kind of are all red. You're just worried I'm going to mess up your chances at being head boy. 5 points from Gryffindor, Percy said tersely, and I hope this teaches you a lesson. No more detective work or I'll write to Mom. And he mummed. And he strode off at the back of his neck with as red as Ron's ears. This interaction is so interesting to me. On like numerous levels, but I understand Percy like thinking about Ginny and thinking obviously they all get Ginny really wrong, but how could you really know what's right. going on? But
I think he's also part of it is he's been waiting for a moment to tell Ron off.
Yeah, because they are constantly
doing ridiculous stuff. Doing but then also, things. Like, remember when they flew the car?
Yeah, that just
and
that,
he was about to, was, and they avoided him because of that. Like
that was eight chapters ago.
That was a couple.
A couple of weeks. I mean, that was a month ago. It was a month ago.
Yeah, it's November now.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, it was like a month or two ago. So yeah, so I get it. I mean, also Percy is just annoying at the same time.
But I think too, like Percy really. I mean, we talked about this. Like, all of the Weasley boys really care about Ginny.
Exactly.
And they care about, and they can see how badly, it, like, she's affected by this, and they're getting why she's affected wrong, but they're still doing that. And this is also kind of a guy thing, I think, too, where they don't listen. They just want to fix, you know? Right. Like, I have an older brother, and so a lot of times when I'm upset a lot. He constantly is like, what can I do to help? What can I do to make it better? And it's and sometimes like nothing. I feel bad. Like I just need to feel this or it's just going to be this way until I wake up and I don't feel bad anymore. But his first resort is like, what can we do?
Right.
So for Percy, he feels like he is really working to, you know, figure out what they can do to help Ginny feel better and see Ron doing this kind of detective work and putting himself in positions where he could get expelled and get in more trouble. Not only, it's not the perception is bad, but like there are real like Ron and Harry, not so much Hermione, but Ron and Harry have repeatedly shown that they are not thinking about the consequences of their actions.
Not at all.
And so for Percy, it's like, not only, yes, does the perception look bad if my little brother gets expelled from school, but also my little brother is obviously not learning these lessons that teachers, like, if teachers aren't getting through to you, then who can? And Ginny is so, like, in his thinking, Ginny's so distraught at the idea that you guys might get expelled. Care about her. Like,
at the very least, if you don't care about yourself.
Yeah, if Dumbledore yelling at you or detention doesn't get to you, then maybe Ginny's fear and how this is affecting Ginny will, because I know that you care about her.
Right. That's real. Harry, Ron, and Hermione chose seats as far as possible from Percy in the common room that night. Ron was still in a very bad temper and kept blotting his charms homework. When he reached absently for his wand to remove the smudges, it ignited the parchment, fuming almost as much as his homework. Ron slammed the standard book of spells grade 2 shut. To Harry's surprise, Hermione followed suit. Who can it be, though, she said in a quieter voice. Who'd want to frighten all the squibs and muggleborns out of Hogwarts?
Let's think. Who do we know that thinks muggleborns are scum? He looked at Hermione. Hermione looked back, unconvinced. If you're talking about Malfoy... Of course I am, said Ron. You heard him. You'll be next, mudbloods. Come on, you've only got to look at his foul rat face to know it's him. Which... It's a logical.
It is logical.
It's a logical conclusion totally to jump logical. To. I mean, they're jumping to the.
I mean, it is her father, and it is his father in the end.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
so. Yeah. Malfoy, the heir of Slytherin, said Hermione. Look at his family, said Harry. The whole lot of them have been in Slytherin. He's always boasting about it. They could easily have been Slytherin's descendants. His father's definitely evil enough. They could have had the key to the Chamber of Secrets for centuries, handing it down, father to son. Well, said Hermione, I suppose it's possible. But how do we prove it, said Harry. There might be a way, said Hermione. Of course, it would be difficult and dangerous, very dangerous. We'd be breaking about 50 school rules, I expect. If in a month or so you feel like explaining, you will let us know, won't you? Said Ron irritably. All right, said Hermione. What we need to do is to get inside the Slytherin common room and ask Malfoy a few questions without him realizing it's us.
But that's impossible, Harry said as Ron laughed.
No, it's not, said Hermione. All we'd need was all we'd need would be some polyjuice potion.
What's that? Said Ron and Harry together.
Snape mentioned it in class a few weeks ago.
Do you think we've got nothing better to do in potions than listen to Snape? I love Ron.
Me too. That's the other thing. He's funny in his own way. Like, you don't have to be, like, make him a one-dimensional, like, comedic, whatever, foil.
Yeah.
Like, he's funny. Just his retorts and, like, his dry humor is already hilarious. Anyway. Yeah. It transforms you into somebody else. Think about it. We could change into three of the Slytherins. No one would know it was us. Malfoy would probably tell us anything. He's probably boasting about it in the Slytherin common room right now. If only we could hear him. This polyjuice stuff sounds a bit dodgy to me, said Ron. What if we're stuck looking like three of the Slytherins forever? It wears off after a while, said Hermione. But getting a hold of the recipe will be very difficult. Snape said it's in a book called Most Potent Potions, and it's bound to be in the restricted section of the library. There was only one way to get a book from the restricted section. You needed a signed note of permission from a teacher. Hard to see why we'd want that book, really, said Ron, if we weren't going to try and make one of the potions. I think, said Hermione, that if we made it sound as though we were just interested in the theory, we might stand a chance. Oh, come on. No teacher's going to fall for that, said Ron. They'd have to be really thick. ... I wonder who they're going to ask. We'll find out next time on Wizard Team.
Dun-dun-dun!
All right, let's go real MVP and who's benched.
Okay. I had Hermione as my real MVP.
Same.
I benched someone I didn't think I benched. That must have been next. Okay, I benched him next chapter. Can I bench the same person twice? I want to change my... Okay. Anywho.
Of course you can.
back to back. Back to back. Okay. Oh, this is like the Drake appreciation post.
Oh, boy.
Episode.
It really isn't, but that's okay.
Okay, but I benched Hermione because she can't, like, ask the questions of Professor Binns, which was really smart.
Yeah.
She couldn't get her hands on, History of Magic. She comes up with the polyjuice potion. She's just doing Hermione things.
She's being Hermione.
Yeah.
In this chapter.
And I'm
she's
all about just, it.
Hermione, peak Hermione is really what it is. And, like, she, yeah. I'm down for her the whole time. She's awesome. I low-key want to make Ron the real MVP just because we got really, like,
deep into Ron.
But I initially made Hermione the real MVP, and yeah. I think that, yeah, she's...
I mean, that's like the kind of thing, was as we're talking through these chapters, you know, then you kind of want to change your pick.
Yeah, but I actually do. I'm going to stick with Hermione, though.
Yeah, but...
So
who did you bench?
So I counted, and so... Snape gets 1, 2, 3. Snape gets 5 tallies and Lockhart gets 6. And I feel like that's really close to call. So I'm going to just bench both of them like I was going to initially. Fuck them. I hate them. They're the worst.
I love you. I love the way your brain works. I love everything about what you just did. So initially, I benched Professor Binns. And then, spoiler alert, next chapter, I benched Dumbledore. I'm going to just come out and bench Dumbledore.
That's real.
Because... who did I bench in chapter 7? Hold on, 1 second.
I think we benched Sir Patrick. Podmore?
Yeah, that was chapter 8.
Chapter 7, sorry.
Lockhart in chapter 7.
Yeah.
I benched Sir Patrick in chapter 8, but I really could have easily benched Filch as well.
Yeah.
And here I was waffling between Filch and Professor Binns. And then in chapter 10... Chapter 10's name is the Rogue Bludger. You guys know.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk
Lockhart
about
does Lockhart things. We'll talk about it next week. But I end up benching Dumbledore, and I'll just do it now because we went further into depth about
yeah.
Binns and Filch. why do you have these people at the school? Yeah. Like, you, ultimately, it comes down to you and your choices, and you don't give a hell, a hoot, mm-hmm. whatever, you don't give a fuck. and, yes, I understand, like, you have people at certain places for strategic purposes or for this greater, larger fight.
And I think that becomes a problem, and, like, it's one of the things that's a little frustrating in Order of the Phoenix is that, yes. like, some of the points that the ministry makes are valid, and then some of them aren't. Like, by saying that, like, they're investigating, like, the issues at Hogwarts, there are issues at Hogwarts.
Yeah.
Too bad they, like, sent the devil, basically, to go and investigate these. But,
and that their investigation starts off after, like, for selfish reasons.
Exactly. But the thing is Dumbledore, issues. Exactly, like, a lot of these people who Dumbledore brings into Hogwarts, like, Trelawney brings her in for her own protection, not because she's actually a good teacher, it's because she had the prophecy about Harry and Voldemort. And so that's why it's for protection. Snape, because he decided he was going to be on the side for...
And none of these people are good
like,
at their
they're not
their
good at their jobs. Filch, because he probably was just having a... He was being sympathetic, which is like, you're good and whatever. Hagrid, even, for when he becomes a teacher, like, it's because he's just a good person, but not because...
He's a good teacher.
So it's just like, you're getting all these bad teachers... Lockhart, because you couldn't find anyone else, but it's like, come on, you could have taught that class if you needed to. Like, have somebody double up. It's a lot of work, but come on. Like, yeah, it's just
at the end of the day, your day-to-day responsibility is to teach children, and yes, there is, like, it's this greater thing happening that you can see
but again,
in
like
advance. Like, you know that you, like, he does have the foresight when... Voldemort goes that he's not really gone. Like, he believes mm-hmm. that. And even, like, this book, I think, is when he starts to really, like, plot towards Voldemort's return.
Right. Especially because of, like, the Horcrux.
Yeah.
But
your day-to-day is to run a school.
Right. And I think...
And, yes, Harry's there, but Harry is not the only child there. No,
he's not. And, again, like, you're just saying, like, the greater good, right? Dumbledore is a person who... Like, okay, yeah, he's grown as a person, but overall, for him, the greater good in this moment is to defeat Voldemort, which is, like, okay. But, and then when he was younger, it was to, like, rule over all the muggle boards and shit. And so, obviously, one is better than the other, but at the same time, you can't always, like you're saying, the day-to-day is better. You can't, or is important as well. It's, like, you have to have long-term and short-term, like, goals. And, like, yeah, you can't...
Yeah.
You have to think about things that are important for the whole. Like, there are ways that you can protect Trelawney without having her teach kids. There are ways you can protect Snape, or even have Snape be on your side without having him teach people who are indirect, like, who he directly has
your
issues
brother
with.
Runs a pub.
Because Snape is
Filch
actually...
can be the barkeep.
Right. And the thing is like, Snape... actually teaches, like, interesting things. The only problem is he can't divorce his own prejudices between Slytherins and Gryffindors, and then he can't get over his little, like, issues with Harry. Like, generally, he knows his shit, and he's really good at what he does, but his own personal issues get ahead of that. And you know that. So now you're fucking up everybody's education because of that. Because of Snape.
And you're allowing, beyond Harry again, you're allowing him to, like, torture Neville. What does that do to Neville's psyche? What does that do to his already fragile sense of self and self-confidence? He's allowed to...
like, dote on Draco.
Yes, and give out unfair punishments. And, like, what you can say, and, I mean, Harry says earlier in the chapter when they fucked up... the one thing you can say about McGonagall is she's fair.
Right.
Snape isn't fair.
Snape is worried about Quidditch.
Snape is worried about... yeah, his reason for coming along is to try to get Harry kicked off the Quidditch team because their next match is with Slytherin.
Right.
That is
period.
His goal.
And
that
Dumbledore needs to be able to, like, see that and to actually...
and if not fire him, I'm not even saying that, but, like
demote
push
him,
back.
Do something.
But this is not okay.
That's the thing. It's like,
you have
like
someone
Dumbledore
working at
things.
Your school saying, I will kill you to a student, to a 12-year-old.
And the thing is, like, Dumbledore knows things and just lets him go. Like, with Draco, like, trying to kill him. He knows Draco's trying to kill him, but he's just letting it happen, and then two other students get attacked. because on their way to, like, attack him.
And also, not, what does that do to Drake? Like, Draco in that moment needs saving, needs right. helping.
And you're just like, I'll send Snape. Snape is the worst person. Why would you ever send Snape in any situation ever?
Because it...
Unless it's to interact with Voldemort.
His like, chess game, right? It plays into exactly. his chess game, but it doesn't take into account...
He's, like, really good at compartmentalizing. This is why he's, like, Papa Pope, bro. Like, I wrote a post about this, like, dumb long ago. I'm gonna find it. And she did. It's probably really easy to find. But, he's the freaking, like, he's manipulative and, like, he's on the right side of the issues. But just because you're on the right side of an issue doesn't mean that the way that you get to that issue is right.
Yeah, there's just, So,
I get it. I still binge Lockhart and Snape, but I understand why you binge Dumbledore.
And I'm binging him again next chapter because I don't know, through the... Through the talking, I was like, oh, I know who I bitched this chapter, but I bitched him the next chapter, and that's going to stay, because it's valid, and it's going to be the exact same reasons next week.
Right.
So, thank you for listening.
Next week, we'll be discussing Chapter 10, The Rogue Bludger. Make sure to read and follow along, and let us know who you think is the real MVP and who is benched for the chapter. As we said before, if you want to join the conversation on Twitter, you can at us at @WeBlackAndNerds and hashtag WizardTeam.
And we... normally have posts coming out Tuesdays and Thursdays. Sometimes, you know, life gets in the way. Let's not talk about it. But be sure to check out our website where we'll have all sorts of fun stuff. And thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye.